just taking the data out of the US this past week, a few things have been happening in the US which are starting to become quite interesting. The first is it's becoming very mixed strength in terms of the data, but there's still quite an inflation pulse running through the United States. Second aspect is rising COVID cases again, and that's starting to dent people's views about what may happen in the future. But first, the data. And on the inflation front, we had the July CPI came out and also July producer prices. And they're still showing a bit of inflation pressure there. The CPI showed 0.5%. That was an unexpected month on month. But it keeps the annual rate of inflation in the United States still at 5.4% year on year. The core CPI, slightly better behaved, and it was up 0.3%, so the annual rate's come back to 4.3% from 4.5%. The only problem is there's still a bit of inflation very much in the pipeline through factory gate or producer prices. And the PPI, both the headline and the core, were way higher than expected. So producer prices, the headline was expected to be 0.6%. It turned out to be 1%. And so the annual rate of change has lifted to 7.8% from 7.3%. And the core, taking out the volatile items, which was expected to be 0.4%, also came in at 1%. And so the annual change there has lifted to 6.2% from 5.6%. So it doesn't look as if the current surge in inflation in the US is overly temporary. Having said that, COVID is starting to take a toll on some of the leading indicators in the US. And right at the end of last week, we had the August Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, had one of its biggest falls in recent times. It came down to 70.2 from 81.2. That was a big surprise. It was expected to still be above 80. So that's just the doubts that are starting to arise around COVID and COVID containment and what may happen with future restrictions. So, and it's not just the US, countries which have got almost 100% vaccination rate, like Israel, appear to be getting another wave of COVID infection. This is a real worry because it can start to dent prospects for economic activity as we go further forward. If anything, it probably means that interest rates are going to stay lower for longer. And this week, we'll hear from Jerome Powell. He'll be giving his semi-annual testimony. And I don't doubt that he'd be stressing that they're still in no rush to take those first steps towards monetary policy tightening in the United States. So, if anything, the bond market may actually be telling the right story at the moment rather than the equity market, which now probably is at some risk when we see the way in which some of these numbers are starting to fall. Watching the numbers through the course of this week, we've got a few of them. There's things like the manufacturing surveys, the regional ones, coming through from both New York State, the Empire State one, and also the Philadelphia Fed survey. They will probably still be okay because we've still got a lot of residual demand in the US, and that's driving the need to manufacture. And so the Empire State one, which was very strong going back to July at 43.0, may come back to high 20s, looking for 29 on that, which would still be a pretty good reading. And as far as the Philadelphia Fed survey later in the week, that one, if anything, might even go up a bit from 21.9 to 25. So no real problem running through those. We also have July retail sales. This may be where we see a touch of that softness. So retail sales, the market expectation for July is that they will actually fall 0.2% after being up 0.6% the month before. And core retail sales probably may be up about 0.2%, but they're up 1.3% going back the month before that. We've also got housing starts and building permits coming out. Still got this strength running through housing. So it'd be interesting to see how long it takes before that starts to turn. But home building permits are expected to be up 1% after being down 5.3% the month before, and starts, which were up 6.3% month on month going back to June, are expected to come back about 2.5%. So probably not a lot of more colour on the way in which this data is running, but definitely there's a market focus now on COVID everywhere. It's not just here in Australia. It's this next wave coming along. And I suppose the other part of this too is it's happening in the summer months, late summer months in the northern hemisphere. So a lot of concern being expressed as they start to run towards autumn into the winter, when seasonally this gives COVID a bit of a lift as well. Same story really when we go to China. There's been signs of more restrictions being imposed in parts of China too. Even in Wuhan, where this thing started out, they're getting another small wave which is starting to run through there. The data too is just starting to show some signs of fade. So we've got July exports and imports came out last week. They're still running high year on year, but not up to expectations, and well down on the month before. So exports, for example, back in June were up 32.2% year on year. They were still expected to be up 21-ish%. In July, they were up 19.3%. It's not a big miss, but it's a little bit softer than expected. Same story in imports, which were up 36.7% year on year going back to June. They were expected to be 33-ish% up. Market consensus for July, they're up only 28.1%. I say only, they're still very strong at 28.1%. Inflation in China, not showing through on their CPI, but boy, is it showing through in their producer prices. So the CPI came out, and it was a little bit higher than expected, but it was only 1% year on year. It's actually down a touch from 1.1% in the month before. But producer prices escalated unexpectedly from 8.8% year on year to 9% year on year. As I mentioned before, this is a problem for the rest of the world, because the yuan is also an appreciating currency at the moment. And so that's actually elevating the cost of factory gate prices for manufactured goods overseas. They're over 10% year on year landed now for the prices going into these other markets, so just adding to that inflation push. This week in China today, we're going to get things like July house prices, fixed asset investment spending for July, industrial production, retail sales. Same story for all of them. They're expected to fade a bit from their strength going back to the month of June. So back in June, fixed asset investment spending, for example, was up 12.6% year-on-year, coming back to about 11.3% year-on-year. Industrial production was at 8.3, coming back to 7.8. Those reductions that have been starting to show now in the annual growth in fixed asset investment spending, that's largely building projects and industrial production, there's quite a containment now in Chinese demand for steel. And that's obviously started to take a toll on Australian iron ore prices, which had been just unbelievably high, but are now starting to settle well below $200 a ton. When at one point they were $230 a ton. So we're starting to see some of that pressure starting to feed through there. Retail sales were at 12.1% going back to June in China. They come out today as well, expected to be down, well, not down, but rising at only 11.5% year on year. In Australia last week, obviously it's a week that's made a bit of difference really in many, many ways. You can see the beginnings of the downturn that's obviously here in the third quarter, showing in expectations in both consumer surveys and also business surveys. We had the NAB business survey. Business conditions came back quite a bit, but they were still in positive territory. So business conditions, which is how businesses have been performing really, came back to plus 11 in July from plus 24. The confidence part of it, looking forward, though, has collapsed. It went from plus 11 to minus 8. which is no surprise, you know, given what's happening around Australia now. And it was a similar story for Westpac consumer sentiment, which was up 1.5% going back to July, fell by 4.4% for the most recent monthly reading. And you know, some of the issues around Australia, you know, obviously we've got some very difficult to contain COVID outbreak now in New South Wales. It appears that, you know, maybe on a smaller scale, but it is escalating in Victoria. It's there in the ACT as well, and is spread into country districts of New South Wales, which necessitated, obviously, the blanket shutdown of New South Wales announced at the weekend. And it's just this issue about, yeah, we've all been saying there's light on the horizon, you know, once we get to 70% immunisation rate. And there's some good news there. You know, we're getting another million Pfizer doses from Poland over the weekend, adding to an escalating supply of that, you know, so that we're probably going to get up to that 70% by the time we get to late October. The only problem is the willingness of governments to ease restrictions when we get up to that level of vaccination now, because there's evidence overseas, it doesn't necessarily give you that much protection. So, you know, already, you know, it was only New South Wales which was toying with the idea that perhaps you can ease restrictions even when you've got still quite a bit of COVID in the community. You know, that's fading by the minute up here. And it's actually really redoubling the view of the states that have been politically rewarded for you know, really tough view on keeping COVID down to zero. And you know, obviously we saw that in state election results for Queensland and Western Australia. And so yeah, there's a very real risk that nothing is going to be opening up any time in the near future. This is you know, obviously makes it very, very difficult to forecast exactly when the downturn is going to finish in terms of economic activity here and what sort of rebound we might get after that, given that views about the future have shifted somewhat. The RBA obviously is on the optimistic side now, so you know, they think there will be a decent rebound. But just waiting to see. Now, one paradox in this, across the Tasman, the RBNZ is going to lift their cash rate this week. You know, they haven't had this extra wave of COVID. They've still got an economy which is coming through well. So middle of this week, you know, we'll hear from the RBNZ and they're probably going to lift their 0.25% cash rate to 0.5% on expectation. So you've just got that anomaly, you know, in this whole situation too, responding to, you know, too much growth as far as New Zealand's concerned. Now, just the figures coming out this week, you know, we've got RBA minutes. We've also got second quarter wage price index. Wages in the second quarter were escalating a little. You know, they're up 0.6%. We think that will lift the annual rate of wages to 1.9% from 1.5%. Long way shy of where the RBA's pitching, you know, becomes an inflation problem, an ongoing inflation problem. They're putting that around about 3%. It'll take a little while before we get to there. We get the labour force data. Quirk in this, that it's the first 2 weeks in July, and that's when early stages of the lockdown. The market consensus is that we would have about a 45,000 reduction in jobs. In August, that's obviously going to be a much bigger number than that, but that's a month away. That was after we had the lift of 29,100 the month before. Participation rate typically comes down when with lockdown too, so that's expected to come back to 66 from 66.2. At this stage, the market thinks that, you know, for July, there was only a very minor lift in the unemployment rate to 5% from 4.9%. But that's a quirk of when this survey was taken. It's obviously going to be well above 5% when we get to the August reading. Now, out of Europe last week, still going pretty well, but, you know, with issues. So the economic data, they had a very, very good early summer. In fact, Europe's now the strongest growing area of the world, which is quite a surprise too. We can see it in things like the August Centix Investor Conference survey, above 20, it was back a little bit from where it was the month before, at 29.8, but 22.2, still pretty good. We had very strong June trade position, where their trade balance increased to an 18.1 billion euro surplus from 12.3. This week in Europe, we've got a revision to Q2 GDP, but GDP in Europe actually grew faster than anywhere else in Q2. It was up 2% quarter on quarter in the initial reading, up 13.7% year on year. But they too are struggling with the COVID problem. And you can see it in the UK, where they had their Freedom Day back on the 19th of July. And they're now back up to 30 to 40,000 new COVID cases a day, 80 deaths a day. It's the hospital system may not yet be in crisis, but by no measure is this comfortable. And so, you've got that question mark which is hanging over things now. That's the issue. It's COVID all the way through has been proving very, very difficult to estimate and to forecast. And it's just becoming a fly in the ointment to an otherwise pretty rosy growth outlook, particularly so here in Australia in the near term. But it's starting to impact elsewhere as well. So if anything, it's probably leaning towards interest rates staying down for even longer.